Hey, listen to this. On this day in history, the first On This Day in History was published.
Oh, sure. What year?
130 A.D.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Also, on this day in history, Hardy goes to the past and brings me the coffee mug that he broke, the one my grandma gave me.
Hey, Lou, here's the past version of your mug. Sorry I broke the present mug.
That's all right. Now the present mug is fine, and the past one is broken, so all is right in the world.
Your guy's scheme of repairing things by going and grabbing the past version seems like a really bad idea.
What makes you say that?
You think messing with time and constantly bringing junk that's supposed to be broken back into existence is a good idea?
Oh, it's neither good nor bad, really. Just super dangerous.
Exactly.
But look, something like this international CNSA would be lost forever.
The Belgian cat says,
Are you sure that thing ever existed? I think you're grabbing junk from other timelines.
Yeah, could be. By the way, Mr. Doubt Wire, I got your old Levis.
Lettuce?
Levis.
Lavoris?
No, Levis. Dungarus.
Levis Dungarus. Is he a Roman?
He?
Levis sounds gender neutral.
Are you guys pretending to be dumb?
I was thinking the same thing about you, but then I thought pretending to be dumb is a sign of intelligence. Could you write it down, maybe, Lou?
Okay. Levis Dungarus.
Oh, Levi's dungarees.
Oh, excuse me if my pronunciation is wrong and I do not speak the Queen's Gambit.
To answer your question, no. Please, do not bring me my pants from the 70s. I have since purchased new ones and also my butt is a different shape.
Yeah, it's bigger.
Just different. Maybe Butchie is right. We need to accept that things that are gone are gone. It's hard for us because most people must accept that, but we can go and get the old broken thing. Except for some old broken things like Granddad White and my old dog Bone Eater. Yeah, definitely can't do people and creatures.
Out of curiosity, why not?
Oh, Lord, because people have agency and they do things and they affect lives and events in a complicated way. I mean, there's potential for your coffee mug to disrupt, but not as much as if we bring Uncle Elliot back from the dead or something. Now, that would be disruptive. Butchie's right, though. Even if these things don't affect events directly, it's still better if we accept that time passes and things and people come and go.
Well, that's something I'll probably never get around to accepting, so just heads up.
I know it's not easy.
It's impossible.
Just don't do this anymore. Go to coffee war with the coffee mug army you have.
Good, bewildering advice, Butch. As Don would say, question. Why is my mug filling itself up with coffee? And now moving across the table by itself.
Did it used to do that?
No, this is a new thing. It used to just passively wait for me to fill it. Maybe this isn't so bad. Wait, now it looks like someone's drinking it.
Fills and empties itself, cutting out the middleman. Good strategy, Mug. This is odd. Also, please direct your attention to the blue jeans walking around on their own.
Uh-oh.
Told you so.
Butch, that's not helpful.
I know. Told you so.
Are they haunted?
No, I think they're still linked to the past. I think that object is existing in two places at once.
So past me is enjoying a cup of coffee?
I guess.
What just happened?
It fell and broke.
I know. I mean, why? That was my grandma's mug.
It must be linked to the day Hardy dropped it.
You dropped my mug, man. Why were you even using it?
Lou, we've been over this a million times over the years. I'm so sorry. I should not have touched it.
That was my special possession.
I know. Oh, this is hilarious. You wanted to drag the past back into the present. This is what you get.
I don't know how I'm going to get over this.
I know this is an odd sentence, but I think my pants are trying to get your attention.
What is it?
It's an animated, apparently sentient old pair of Levi's.
Something fell out of its pocket.
It's a note. It says, on this day in history, nothing happened.
Oh, how about that? I love history.
What's that mean? It doesn't sound good. It looks like my handwriting. This is a note from some version of ourselves. I bet I know. We made an eventless day.
Explain.
No. Explain, Butchie. By going back in time and grabbing objects that were the basis of events, you made a day when nothing happened. You robbed it of its effect and its actions. It's like you took a scene from a play and removed all the action, all the things that affect the plot, and moved them to another scene, leaving a part in the play where nothing at all happens.
Is that bad?
If you were sitting in a play and suddenly everything stopped, stage cleared, no actors, no lines...
I'd think the play was over and leave.
Even though it was going to start again. You wouldn't know that. Same with that day. It got robbed of its input into history, and now it's a time hole.
Well, what do we do?
We have to go back to that day and make stuff happen.
All this because I missed my mug. I think that's acceptable, even though it's broken again. Maybe it wasn't worth it. Although it is neat to see your pants walking around on their own.
All my clothes do that if they get dirty enough. So I guess we're going back in time. Set the dial to this day in history.
After breakfast.
Oh, yeah, sure, no rush.
Read it to me again.
On this day in history, Emperor Hadrian built a wall across time, effectively stopping history. A great achievement, sire.
Thank you.
Remind me again of the purpose of stopping time.
Purpose? I've stopped time in its tracks. I've built a blockade across the timeline like a traffic barricade.
To what end, sire?
To what end? No end. That's the point. No points anymore. No history in all of its expectations. No future with all of its expectations. I am now ruler of the eternal present.
Okay.
You seem not entirely on board with the plan. Normally, I would not care or even have smited you by now. Or is it smote? Smited? Whatever. But I'm curious about your doubt, because you're normally so wonderfully obsequious.
It's just that, don't we now live in the eternal present?
Yes.
But now, it has no origin or destination.
I'm not sure it ever did.
So, we are where we always were.
True. Okay. No harm, no foul. Maybe that wasn't the best plan.
Yes, sire, but now we will live the same day over and over again, with each pass deteriorating a little more, having a little less content each time, until the day holds nothing at all.
Okay, I got it. But what would you have me do?
That's the problem, sire. We can't do anything now.
Oh, I see.
Hopefully someone from the future or past who has the capability of time travel can rectify things.
Yeah.
Ugh. Why does it smell like old spaghetti and popcorn?
Because the microwave in the kitchen is busted, so I've been using the one on the time machine.
Butchie, I've told you this isn't a microwave, it's a time capacitor.
Regardless, it heats the heck out of the lean gourmets.
Acrid break room stench.
That's what it is.
No, I'm reading off this scented candle.
Oh, yeah, I got that as a gag gift. This is where I left it, huh?
Either way, let's try to keep this time machine relatively clean. It's got to last us. So where are we headed?
To 1:30 A.D.
1:30 in the morning or afternoon?
The year 1:30.
Ah, in the morning.
I don't know, man. Hey, we got company.
It's the Walking Levis. Can they come with us, Artie? Please? They might know more about the situation than we do.
All right, the empty animated trousers can come along.
Yay, you won't regret it. I'm going to call you Gene. Gene Levis.
Hey, I think they like you. I disown those pants.
Don, can I see you in my office?
Yes, sir. Is there a problem?
Don, there's someone I'd like you to meet.
Hi. It's me.
It's me.
There's two of me. Two of us. Question.
I know you two must have a lot of questions, and so do I. But my primary concern is running a real estate brokerage firm. And to do that, well, it has to be lean, and I just can't afford two Dons.
Well, what do you propose?
I can only keep one of you.
But aren't we the same person?
I really don't know.
Are you suggesting we somehow come to agreement between ourselves about who leaves and who stays?
Maybe.
I'll leave.
Well, you both can't leave.
I'll stay.
Wait. There must be a way to determine which Don is the better real estate agent.
I think any salesman who spent some time as a house knows the real ins and outs. What? What do you mean, spent time as a house? Yes, we were a house for a while. How do you figure? Well, it was a time machine accident, and our spirit became trapped in a house where it lived for years before being freed and returning to this body. Oh, you're speaking figuratively.
Wait, sitting down, Don. You were never a house?
I'm a little baffled by what you mean by that. I've always been myself, largely, though I was briefly tricked into thinking I had royal blood.
So wherever seated Don came from, he didn't become a house.
But that event defines me. Even though it's painful, it's made me who I am. More aware, more sensitive. It gave me insight into the struggles and desires of living creatures. I would just like to remind both of you that I take regular real estate refresher courses to keep on top of the latest property trends.
Now, standing, Don, we know and love you here at Surreality, but sometimes you're just too good at your job. We've discussed this.
I see.
And since seated Don lacks that traumatic experience, maybe he'd be better and more normal, less threatening, less weird. A less disturbing colleague than yourself.
Oh, I understand.
Please don't take our rejection of your personality and abilities and appearance personally.
Oh, no, I understand. It's only business.
It is only business, but everything is, really.
All right, I'll grab my box of fridge magnet calendars with my name on it and head out. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity to work here at Surreality and good luck to you, other seated Don. Ah, it was nice to meet you. Me? Yes.
Oh, Don.
Yes?
Shut the door behind you. Other Don and I are going to celebrate with champagne, and I don't want the others to get jealous.
Ah, yes, sir.
On this day in history. On this day in history, a pair of pants changed a person. Some of us change our clothes every day. If you wear pants, you might change your pants frequently if they're dirty or wet or the wrong cut for the look you're trying to go for. But on this day, a particular pair of pants changed in a way no garment had done before and became the first trousers to be granted independence. And those pants went on to become Levis Dungaris, the first clothing item to travel through time. On this day...
Love spending time with you, Grandma.
Love having you, Lou.
Hey, can I have this mug that says World's Greatest Dud?
Sure. It was a typo, and so I got it for 25 cents at Goody Hut.
I'll take it. I like the thickness. It keeps the coffee the right temperature.
You'll have to clean it out, though, if you're going to drink from it, because I've been using it for pencils and paper clips and frog venom and everything.
Oh, okie doke. I'll rinse it out.
You rang, sir.
Did I?
Maybe not. I'm not used to nothing happening yet.
Yes, this is a strange turn of non-events.
Is it that nothing is happening or nothing significant?
I have no idea. I mean, we are talking.
But what if it's just a repeat of a past event? If it's just a recording of something happening, does that count?
Are we living the event? Or are we in a picture of that event?
Yes, it's confusing.
I'm confused by half the content on the comic section of the newspaper, so this is really off the charts for me.
Did I err in building a wall across time? Should I have put some doors in the wall? A doorless wall seems like the number one architectural mistake you can make.
A stairway leading nowhere.
All stairs lead somewhere. It's just the relative worth of that place. I climbed a stairway that ended in a wall. But that wall was interesting and set me on my life's course of wall building and trampling people with elephants.
Excuse me?
Well, on the wall, there were pictures of battle elephants, and it gave me an idea.
I see.
So nowhere is still somewhere, but also somewhere
is nowhere.
Is
yes,
nowhere.
Very good. Very
yes,
good.
See, now you're getting it. This is the Emperor Hadrian, and you are listening to a cut called The Emperor's Newness is Closed. And before that, we heard an episode of Time Stoppers. Just a reminder that if you are bored and say there's nothing to do, you might create a wall in time, blocking your sightline to the horizons of existence and creating an empty and cold void. Keep listening. We have more fantastic content coming up.
Whose woods these are, I think I know. This house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. Hello, I'm Robert Frost, and that's my poem Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. And when it isn't a snowy evening and I'm looking for quality furniture, I stop by Woods Furniture Warehouse. Woods has furnishings for every room of the house. Slap and Dasher dining room sets, Batista sleeper sofas and recliners. Colonial bed suites by Adam Alexander. They didn't used to have any of that furniture. 600 Superhighway in Annalona, only a few minutes to go before you sleep like never before. Take the road most traveled to Woods.
So a weird thing happened.
Oh, no.
So I confused AM radio and AM the time of day.
What do you mean?
I confused amplitude modulation with antibaridian.
So?
I mean, on the quantum level. With a big, powerful machine. So much so that my confusion became physical law.
Keep going.
Basically, all of time is taking place before noon and on the radio.
All right, I'm confused.
So was I. What time do you think it is?
10 a.m.
Nope. It's 1,000 kilohertz. I made time a wave frequency.
All right, no worries.
So, as you scan the radio dial, don't be surprised to find the past embedded there and announcing itself, broadcasting, radiating.
I won't.
All right, cool.
We are listening to How the Radio Became a Time Machine by the Not a Prime Number of Players Theater, and before that, a commercial for the dull hand-me-downs of the white patriarchy, and before that, nothing at all.
Dear Diary, how are you? Haven't heard from you in a while, and frankly, I'm growing a little concerned. But I know you're busy, and to be honest, I don't write expecting a response anyway. Things are not so great at work. Well, it's not work anymore. They say if you love what you do, it won't be work. And they're right. I loved what I did, and it's not work anymore. Work is gone. It's someone else's work. Solar panels work from sun to sun. But a real estate agent, their work is never done until that closing, man. That's the thing. You can set that hook, but don't celebrate until the fish signs those papers in Conference Room B at Duncan and Duncan and Durer LLC. I'm thinking of getting a stamp that says Dear Diary in my handwriting so I can save a little time with each entry. Also, note to self, stop sealing the diary
in wax every time you close it. It's an ugly mess now, and there's little red wax chips everywhere. And yes, I know my signet ring is made backwards, and it's a backwards B.
The years fly by like songs or news updates or ads or station IDs. Look for the early events of your life to the left of the dial and expect partial events of varying intensities from now until the whole thing ends. And remember, live. You never get two moments quite the same. Live makes life into another world. See the world, live. And by Stander. Stander and standing in since 88 kilohertz.
They're going to ask whether there's a new person in town. And I'm going to raise my voice. And I'm going to tell them, yes, there's a new... Yes, there's a new... Oh, I'm sorry. That was very loud of me. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm going to tell them in a reasonable... This is a reasonable volume now. I'm going to tell them in a reasonable voice that I am here and I am leaving. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. You didn't think I'd say that I heard a funky voice. I say it like that because it's not the way he doesn't talk like that in person. I met him at acting lesson, and I was appalled. He came in, and he first of all he smelled like cumin. That's not a good smell. It's not. I was on the Moser Howitz show, and it was 1968. I think it was 1968. And I was the very first guest because I was a big star. And I met Moser Howitz. He was very little, very tiny, and I remember him being the size of someone. It looked like a doll or something. And I said, oh my, you're so small, I'm afraid I'm gonna step on you. He said, no, there's no worries about stepping on me. Oh, I'm very used to being around people who are very tiny time travelers, because he was a time traveler. And I pretended, for the longest time, I thought this was a lie. And, then I saw the time. I'm calling the time machine. It's a real thing. And I said, it's setting up. Oh.
Welcome to the Hardy White Dinner Theater. Oh, my friends, I hope you're eating something. This is a dinner theater. Could be a lunch theater or brunch theater or even breakfast theater. Isn't that fun? But you should be eating something, because I would like the crunch of whatever it is to obscure the occasional sentence so you don't get all the meaning of the performance. Is it a performance? No, I speak to you from the heart, which is a sort of performance. My heart is performing. It's performing well. The other day, I was looking at some videos, and I saw one from the year 1994. It was a clip from the Mary Lou Henner show, simply called Mary Lou. Maybe there was an exclamation point, or question point, or something, I don't know. Or colon. Everything is really followed by a colon, isn't it? So I'm watching this program, and it's this clip, and the guests are Burt Reynolds and Charles Nelson Reilly, and they are sitting in their chairs. Well, Burt is laying down in his somehow. I don't know. He's sitting almost like he's sitting on the top of his spine. Very strange. He's very relaxed. And Charles Nelson Reilly is sitting there, and he looks very pensive. And Mary Lou is up in the audience, and in the audience are four graduates of the Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater School program to be taught by Charles Nelson Reilly. So they're all theater student participants in this theater that Burt Reynolds had. And in that bunch was Brent Briscoe, I think that's his name, if I get his name wrong, and I had seen him in Twin Peaks The Return, playing a police officer. And there he is, thanking them for giving him an opportunity to learn acting, to put on plays, to get him work and everything. Oh, it's not just a dinner theater. You could be sitting there and say, I'm gonna start with the consomme, because I don't know what year it is. I think it's earlier than 94, I think. I think it's the 80s, the heyday. And maybe even the 70s. I don't know when it started. But let's say I'm having consomme. I don't know the performance is going on. I think perhaps you eat, they clear the dishes, and then you watch the performance. I don't remember exactly. That seems more sense. Although I'd be waving down that. People I'd with would just be waving down the waiter, because the meal would be more important than the performance. And there's nothing wrong with that. You do not die from lack of theater. So, you know, the human body craves food. And really, art is secondary, sort of, isn't it? So I could eat on an undecorated plate even. Doesn't even have to be painted with decorations. But let's say I'm at this dinner theater, which is, oh, it's lovely. Oh, look at it. I'm going to watch. This is the way theater was originally meant in ancient Greece. Said they'd be having spanakopita and things like that. Yummy. Yummy foods. I don't know what they're serving at this dinner theater, my friend. I want to give you a type of nutrition that's going to satisfy your soul. Something that you can't, that once you eat it, not eat it literally, but once you, I guess you rub, maybe it's topical. I try not to be topical because I want them to be evergreen. But there's evergreen topicals, and you can rub them right into your muscle, and it soothes, and it smells like pine trees. I love it. That's what I want to be. I want you to rub me into yourself, not literally, and absorb. And you say, well, I don't need all these. I can't absorb it because I cannot decipher it. So you don't need to decipher it. You don't need to understand the molecular structure of your arthritis cream. And I don't think you need to understand the content of a radio show. Just let it in. Let it in your brain. Let it soak in it for a while. What could go wrong? Now, I referenced this advertisement that was on when I was a kid a lot. And that's because I felt it. Because I think it's the answer to everything. And that is that to soak in something unnatural as a demonstration of absolutely nothing. For whatever, I don't know what, for what reason. And then to imply that the person is actually immersed in it. So you know how, like, you say, oh, if somebody's sleeping, put their thumb in warm water and they'll pee? Well, there was this idea in the 60s and 70s that if you stuck your hand into, like, let's say soap, that you could then tell the person, you know, in a hypnotic state of mesmerism, that they are, in fact, soaking in it. You're soaking in it. I am. I thought I knew that my tip of my fingers were touching soap. No. It's all around you. Oh, that's crazy. And I say that all the time. You're soaking in it. And it's all sorts of things I could be talking about. The universe itself. You're in a thing. It's so hard to be in a system and then to think outside of it. What's this thing we're in look like? I don't know. Because you to see it, you leave it. And I don't want to jump off. I'm not going to jump out of the train to get a good look at the train. I'll say, I'm going to take some guesses. And it doesn't matter. It'd be interesting. You're cruising along in a train. You go, I wonder what the outside of the train looks like. That's a wonderful question. I wonder if we can ever know. Maybe not. Is knowing worth it? Hey, I don't know. I've known millions of people who have gone to their grave not knowing. So I'm saying it's probably not required reading. But let's say there is something on the outside of the train that allows you not to ever perish, but that you have to die to see it. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. Not a lot of things do make sense. And I realized that as I set out to do a sort of, I want this to be a dinner theater. Now, there is no, it's not chance that the title of the show is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. Or is it Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition? One of them, it's an earlier show. They're all called different things. One was just called Hardy, and then one was called the Hardy White Show, and then Hardy White, and I don't know, it's different decades, different names. But that's a Miracle Nutrition. It's always stuck, because in a lot of ways, it's like stone soup. You know, miracle nutrition is the kind of, I feel nourished and yet I have not eaten anything. Say, isn't that a miracle? Yes, it's also a delusion. But that's all right. You cannot live forever on delusions. But you can live a little while. You can live as long as you would anyway. Does that make any sense? So let's say you're hungry and you're gone a whole day without food, and then you imagine that you're eating a sandwich. Oh, it's delicious. And it almost sort of satisfies you. And now the next day, you get access to food. So it turns out it wasn't really an issue. But you did use delusion there to temporarily take care of yourself. So it isn't something for long-time use. It's like a temporary spare. You get those temporary spares that aren't quite a spare? Those are rough, right? You go, oh, dear. Is it even enough to get me to this? So this will get you to the spare. Some people use them for eternity. They'll put them on the car and you go, oh, troubled soul. I see that the temporary spare has gone on and stayed on. And so that's a lot. You're judging. How do you know how long it's been on? Well, you know, I don't know, but it looks like the person's just kind of cruising around in it. Could be. Or they're taking a circuitous route to the tire store. Stop judging. That's not judging, it's storytelling. That's the problem. You get them confused, trying to get a narrative out of something. See somebody on a train interacting with somebody else? And it's not really you're judging. You're trying to get some kind of narrative going by filling in the gaps with lies. I do that all the time. I fill in the gaps with lies. If you're a storyteller, if you're a writer, you say, here's pages, here's nothing but gap. Endless gap. Fill it in with as many lies as you like. It'd be neat to be in movies, then you say, you fill in the lies, and then we will flesh out the lies, and we will create an illusion that the lies are true. And then we'll beam them, literally, in the form of light, into the senses of lots of people. And then those people will internalize that story and those images, become part of them, really. Become part of their culture. Because isn't that what culture is? You imagine figures and things like that to accompany your values or the way you see the world. Oh, that's a good idea. Let's do that. No, I will not participate in that. Oh, well, sure I will. I guess I will. Listen, I have this idea for a movie. If anybody's out there and you want to do my movie, nobody else is willing to have you let them do their idea for a movie. I'm the only one. So do mine.
What's your idea, Hardy?
Okay, you caught me. I don't have one. I just have a huge ego and desire for recognition. But I could come up with an idea. I mean, man, if art is the path to me, having people pay attention to me or give me undeserved love or affection, hey, we all deserve love and affection. There is no undeserved, just as a human being, man. Talk about, I can see people using in a derogatory way, participation award. So it's like, oh, you know, participation award, you know, everybody gets one, so it's meaningless. Everybody gets a prize, it's meaningless. I think there's one exception, and that is life itself. I think if you've participated for even a little bit, man, you deserve some sort of medal or trophy or something. It's rough. So I think if you've been alive for either, it's a total sensory immersion kind of thing with your nerves. It hurts. So if you are alive and have teeth, you deserve some sort of, even if you don't, if you used to have teeth, you should get two awards. But I'm all for recognizing the struggle of merely being alive. I can't believe that there are people that think it's easy for others. I guess there's that illusion. Maybe some people want you to think it's easy, but it can't be. Oh my gosh. As a time traveler, and I admit the reason I talk about it all the time is so you think I'm lying. Otherwise, I'd be there. Imagine how many people would descend upon me. I even tell you how I do it using radio. I'll put scientificness out there in the form of all quantified, and I'll put up the charts and everything, and still people say, "Hey, that's nothing. That's gobbledygook." I go, "Well, is it?" And they go, "Yes." And I go, "Well, is it?"
And this goes back and forth until they get tired. That's how I wear them down. That's how I disguise the truth. You have to hide it. Don Quixote knew that. He knew that if you thought his, that shaving basin on his head, if you knew that was a magic helmet, you'd steal it. So part of it is to create an illusion, is to hide the treasure, to disguise it as garbage. And that's what I tried to do. I think I do a very good job. In fact, I totally forgot where I put the treasure. So I apologize if all I give you is subterfuge. But that's okay. This is where the treasure used to be. Isn't that cool? That's still cool. This is the vault where we kept it. What, describe the treasure. Can't remember. That's the way it works. Oh, this is dinner theater, an empty stage. I'll describe it to you. An empty stage. Goes dark. Stage right is now stage left because it's rotating. So it's very hard to give directions. But we got to work that out. So give us just a minute to work that out, and we'll be right back. Enjoy your food.
Mama, can I have more bread?
Don't spoil your appetite on bread and crackers. You're not going to enjoy the entree.
What's the entree?
What it says here, it's bread with a cracker topping.
All right.
I don't remember what I ate. I remember going to an ice show with my grandmother. So the stage was ice. I don't know, intentionally or unintentionally. And upon it, skaters, like the ones you see in the Olympics. Not the ones going fast with the large thighs wearing those rubber suits. The ones, the dancing kind. And we sat in a booth, my grandmother and I had just got my braces off. She says, I'm going to take you for all the food that you couldn't have when you had braces. So I think I had corn with gum on it. I don't know what I had, but... And then we watched, get something brittle.
All right.
Then we watched this ice show. And I had never seen anything like it. And for 10 minutes, I was enthralled. And then it went on a little. Then got a little long. That's when they take the food away. So I don't know if a play would be like. I could see a play like if you crunched on something and somebody misses something. There was an old ad like that where somebody was about to say something important. And a food that was being touted for its crunchiness obscured the sound. It was so loud, drowned it out. That's how crunchy it is. It's almost too crunchy. It's like a menace. Our product is so much of that adjective that we're touting that it might hurt or burn you or beam you or make your genitals sore or something. I don't even know. But it's bad for you. It's not, though. It's just great. It's just hyperbole. I'm sorry if the hyperbole hit you there. But that was us. We just love our product so much we feel like we're forced to lie. I guess it'd be enough to tell the truth, but we just were like, oh, that's not a big enough demonstration of our love. If I just tell people straight up my idea, they might not like it enough. So I think I got to add something to it in the form of obfuscation or embellishment. That's what I'll do. And then they'll extra love me. Oh, do I want to be loved? I want to be loved. I am already. So I'm just throwing, now I'm just throwing back fish.
You can never have too much love.
I bet you could. You ever heard the expression to be smothered in love? I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could have too much. You say, I love you so much, you crushed. Could you imagine that? You walk in and say, oh, my friend and everybody. Mr. Rogers or something, they think you're helping them, and it's like, all there's left is a sweater now. What'd y'all do?
We all pushed too hard. We all wanted a bit of him.
So that's that, you know, you can, or you love a teddy bear. So that teddy bear's been loved hard because the child will almost eat it. So, yeah, imagine that. I feel like I'm, I love you, Hardy. Thank you. I know that when I go looking for it, I say, oh, boy, I'm feeling unloved. I love you. All done. I'm good. It is the nice, though. It's, I guess it's like the bank. You know, you put a little something in there. You go, I wonder if there's anything in that bank. Yeah, remember, you put some love quarters in there. I'd like them back, please. All right, I'll put them right back in. That's the thing. Take one, leave a penny,
Leave a love penny, take a love penny. Remember that one? From earlier in the show? I think it's somewhere like at 41 or... Oh, my gosh. That we get to spend time together. I feel spoiled. Spoiled like an old can of cream. Not that spoiled. Do foods go bad? Yes, of course. I mean, I don't know which ones. They don't go bad in the right order. I have a refrigerator, and I look at the dates of things. Is this observational humor? No, actually, it's really more like I'm asking your opinion, but I don't want to know it. I'm not sure the difference. I'm not sure what the date means exactly. Is it like legal? Is it past here? We can't be. Don't hold us to the freshness, to the safeness. It's meaningless to me. It's more explicit. And then people say, smell it. Oh, smell it. Oh, I don't know if you could smell. I could smell poison? I don't think so. I don't trust that. I've eaten bad food. It smelled fine. So that isn't it. I'm not really afraid of those things. But I don't want to knowingly eat, like lick a Petri dish. So I go through the foods, and I don't want to toss things out either. I like to recycle or compost or throw it. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll go, I don't know if you've done this. If you live near a theater, old-time theater, you go through the fridge, you get all the old rotten stuff, and then you go to a play. And then a lot of times, if the play is all kind of old style, it starts to get bad, you start to throw garbage. And they don't do that a lot of times on Broadway. But when they'll take Broadway shows on the road, and so if they, you know, sometimes if they'll come here, that's not really true. I don't even like to joke about throwing things at people. I remember Al Hurt got hit with a rock when I was a kid, and it crushed me because I remember him from the radio or something. Am I making that up? I'm not sure what I make up anymore. You know, I have been, sometimes you'll land on another planet, let's say. How does that happen if you're time travel? Well, stuff moves in space, right? So I think I've left Earth, but then when I land, the Earth has moved and I haven't. So I'll land somewhere else. And a lot of times you run afoul of the law because they're like, why are you here? You know how you're wrong place at the wrong time. And start quizzing me about stuff. And I don't think I respond very well to that. Say, hey, I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I've done. I don't know who you are. But my gosh, we're here at the same time. And for that, I'm thankful. It's just good to be alive, isn't it? I'm tired of figuring things out. I don't want anybody to... Don't turn to me for answers or questions. In fact, you can turn to me for directions. Let's say you're out of town, you come in town. Hardaway's the Baptist Hospital. I'm going to tell you, but there's a caveat. Sometimes I get confused. I could give you the wrong street name. Double check it. Because I mean well. But even when I think I'm being factual, who knows? I could tell you the wrong thing. So the best strategy when you're listening to me is simply pay attention to the sounds, to the rhythm, to the pitch. When you listen to a song, what if it's in another language and you say, I like that song, Shabam Bam Bean Da Pata Poop. Shabam Bam Bean Da Pata Poop. Right? And then you find out, oh my gosh, it's some kind of nationalist anthem or something. I thought it was catchy. And I'm singing about the people I oppose are cockroaches or something. You go, what the heck? I just thought it was peppy. So you always run that risk, I think. So I want you to listen to me and really, really, really listen, but don't pay attention. Just let it wash over you. You don't want it to be permanent anyway. What are you going to absorb all these? Imagine all these podcasts you listen to now. Think about it. And a lot of them have heavy information, right? I just have exformation. It's easy to brush off. But they have actual information, things that lock together, and they lock together with things that are already in your mind. So you retain some of it. And they go on longer than 20 minutes, which means it enters your long-term memory. So a lot of times you're carrying on long-term memories of these things that you listen to for entertainment. And it is very different than watching an episode of Lucille Ball at 30 minutes or something. It's different than that because it's being presented in a way that seems as if the information should be assimilated and remembered. It's given to you like a lesson. And I'm telling you, that's dangerous. You're going to run out of space. You're like an 80s apple or something. It isn't the brain you think it is. There's not an infinite amount of space. Why can't I? I'm starting not to remember some things.
There you go.
I don't know what to tell you. We
only use a certain percentage of our brains
because we're stupid. We don't know how to use the rest. Don't even worry about it. It's not going to unlock. You're not going to suddenly find the key to the rest of your storage space.
I know this house is bigger than it looks, and there's extra storage.
Good luck. No one's ever found it. So people have jammed more into the existing space, but I don't think you don't ever open up that other part. That's not going to open up. You can't use that. It's not. It's like having an attic, and you go, we could turn this into living space. The ceiling is too low. Trust me. I've tried living in an attic basement. Every time you get up to pee, you concuss yourself. So don't do that. Don't overestimate. Don't be greedy. You got a little pea brain. Some of your pea brains, though, can do surgery on the moon or something. So that's cool. But eventually, we all return to dust or mud or goo or stuff that looks like putrefied cabbage. And that's fine also. I don't mind being reabsorbed by nature. And I'm on laying there, moldering the grave, because I won't be there, I don't think. I bet when I'm out, listen. Sometimes when I'm asleep, I am out. I'm out. Boy. Woo. I don't know where I am, nothing. It's like, so I imagine if I were dead, I'd be really, really unaware. Like you could probably, like a cannon could go off if I were dead. Like a loud noise would go off. I wouldn't even move, probably. So that's what I'm thinking. And that seems to me like, that's sleeping like a log. You sleep long enough like a log and mushrooms grow on your butt. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. If I lived in a certain community, I would say, I want you all to grow mushrooms on my dead corpse.
Well, I'll do it.
But I don't live in that sort of... I come from a burying people. You know, my people are big on coffins and things like that. They like that. They want to see it. They want to see you in it to make sure you got it in there. They want to see the lid close on you. I don't know why that is. That must go back. So I want proof. Put it in this. It's psychological, but they want you know it's final. I think they'll know it's final when I'm not responding or breathing or moving. But say, no, they want to make sure it's in there. And then in some traditions, they're like, and I want to put the dirt on you myself. Like, okay. Wow. All right. I promise not to come back. You know, I promise I'm in here. You want proof. It's not bad. It's like everything. We should have contracts, and it just protects all of us, that kind of thing. But I don't know about my body. I mean, people they make jokes about what they want what they want done with their remains, but it's out of their control. And if your wishes do not correspond with laws and cultural norms, they won't be honored. It's really strange. The most disturbing thing is when they dip you in resin, they strip your skin, dip you in resin, they pose you throwing a frisbee, and you go on tour. And there's a couple touring companies of those of this skinless Lucite people or whatever they are, and some of them have forms. Some of the bodies are donated, others are not. So that's you're getting on your high horse a little bit. What, that somebody stole human remains and is posing them in frivolous ways and charging people to see them? I think that's, it's probably low down there. I'm way more for living human rights. But, it is
it is sort of nasty to be messing with dead bodies like that in a way, like they would, like it is a, it's really, you know, it's like taking a human and making him one of those frogs with the frogs riding a bicycle dead. It's a real dead frog. Dude, I don't think they have novelty places like that. Oh, my gruesome. Oh, my gruesome youth is my album. But it was. Some of it was. I think I was on the, I feel like my first decade of my life was in the Victorian age or something. But it wasn't. It was just the 60s. But a lot of stuff was left over from the before time. Scary things, especially, I think, I mean, not that we're enlightened about animals now, but I think that there was more overt cruelty. Oh, that's good. So a little better. Oh, my gosh. Just not as many real stuffed dead animals posing and stuff as there used to be. But thank God. Oh, my gosh. I had a friend that took taxidermy lessons. And then she started taxiderming anything that she found dead. Even if all the pieces weren't there, she'd make it work. And she was a blessed, beautiful, spiritual being, an artist. But that was interesting. So she was, you know, she wasn't doing it to be barbaric. It was in a true sort of like, yeah, it's different. It is different. There's people who do things with such thoughtfulness or reverence, let's put it that way, that it doesn't seem crass or horrible. Sometimes it isn't literally what you do, it's the way you do it and the care that you take doing it. When I speak to you, I sometimes joke about not wanting to tell you the wrong thing or steer you wrong or make sense. It's all a big game, and it sounds like that's that fun kind of confusing art that's confusing for confusion's sake. But trust me, believe me, I'm not confusing you for confusion's sake. I'm doing it for the sake of love, because I think that it is easier to bring people to a place where they can fly free than to show them pictures of you flying free on vacation. Why don't you join me? Don't let me tell you things. Let me show you. Grab my hand and I'll pull you up into the sky, up onto the radio with me. Come on inside this weird thing.
You seem like you're doing whatever you want.
Come on in, do whatever you want with me here. Speak in this way. Say, well, you're speaking and people are listening. How do I know? I really don't know. I'm just speaking alone. You can do this. Do you speak to yourself alone?
No.
Why?
Someone might hear you.
Maybe. But maybe not.
I live in an apartment in New York.
So one thing you could do is get under a blanket.
All right.
And you don't have to do loud voices.
Okay.
So let's get under a blanket. This is the New York version. Get under a blanket, maybe a comforter.
Okay. Will I be able to breathe?
For a while, long enough. And we're going to speak. You don't have to speak louder than this even.
All right.
And you're going to talk to imaginary friend.
Oh, no, this is weird.
It's not weird.
Okay.
It's not, though.
All right, go on.
All right, you're going to talk to an imaginary friend, and it's just a way of hearing different voices out loud. Sometimes it's interesting to hear your thoughts out loud.
Is it?
Yeah. Because when you speak them out loud, you can. I do it so I can hear the crazy in them.
Oh.
So I'll be like, if I hear
You're an idiot. You're an idiot, a stupid idiot.
It helps me to say it out loud, because then I can tell it to shut up. It's a lot easier. So I like to speak out loud.
All right.
And I like to speak to my friends, you. Oh, I want your heart to be free. I don't even have to know who you are. Oh, Hardy, help me get off my own back a little bit. Don't thank me. Don't thank me.
But I already did.
It's okay. I'll forget. But you just take that.
Why?
I don't know. Because then I might want to go and do the thing I did. You say, when you said this certain thing, a certain joke about bread or something, that's what made me excited. Then I'll want to go make that bread joke all the time. I don't want to do that. Because if I did anything good, I did it by accident. I just want to keep making accidents. Whoopsie. I made one. Oh, I hope it has a good effect. I hope some good came from it. Or I hope something interesting came from it that is neither good nor bad. A little excitement. Or a little boredom. That's what I needed, Hardy. I was laying in bed. And everything I was listening to was too engaging. And so I put you on. And it was just the right thing. It lulled me. It did. It lulled me. Is it rhythmic? I don't know. Could be just the timbre of your voice. The timbre of it? Yes. Something lulled me, Hardy. Well, that's fine. I don't mind. I don't mind if you take my beautiful abstract art sculpture and you said that was the perfect thing to keep the door open. So be it. Use is use is use. Is it up to the artist to decide how the piece of art is used or perceived? Is that my business?
I don't think so.
It's no longer my business. It's not my business how you see me necessarily or hear me. Oh, my friend, I hope you know it's delivered in kindness, though, that my what I aspire to is to live with you in peace and with helpfulness and kindness and being aware of one another's struggles. I hope that you are doing better than before. And I hope that when you're not doing better, that then you are again. And then this goes on sort of alternating, you know, as long as you can bear it. Oh, my friend, I don't mind doing it with you, though. Oh, take my hand. Let's look at my hand. What's written upon my hand? It says, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org. Stop trying to talk fancy. Online at WFMU.org. Worldwide. That's worldwide. It's whole world. And many other worlds, perhaps. But that's with terrestrial radio. Isn't that funny? It's just the opposite. Worldwide is just worldwide. Terrestrial radio is the whole universe.
First. This is Clarence Campbell, CC, the power of a voice to the gospel. You're tuned to Sinner's Crossroad Gospel Broadcast on Listen Supporters Free Farm, WFMU. Stay tuned for more beautiful gospel music here on Sinner's Crossroad. You'll be blessed.
Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Good. Have you tried?
Good evening, beloved. Sinner's Crossroads, Gospel Broadcast, WFMU, the Palmetto Gospel Singers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Appropriate song. Think record label. Right before that, we hear the Brown Brothers. I've got a feeling deep down inside on the Brother Eli.